In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. I want to talk about the first four of the parables that will be said at Vespers for a Nativity tomorrow. The first one is from Genesis, and this particular parable is said also on Holy Saturday and on Theophany, and there's a good reason for that. It is about creation. It's about the creation, the first 3 days of creation. At the end of creation, those 3 days, and God saw that it was good. And so it was. But then bad came into the world with sin. And so God recreated us. And there will be a new creation because of Christ. This is why it is appropriate that this reading is given on Nativity, because our Lord became man for us to be recreated. On Theophany, because, of course, our recreation is accomplished, or at least is started, is made possible by baptism. And, of course, on Holy Saturday, because without the resurrection from the dead, there would be no recreation, because there would be no life. Now, this selection speaks about the Spirit of God moving upon the waters. By the Spirit of God, the world was created. In fact, also by God the Father and the Son. This creed makes it clear that all three persons of God were involved in the creation of the world. And the prophecy also has, in Isaiah, there's a prophecy that says the Spirit of God is upon Christ, will be upon him. So God became man, and the Holy Spirit abode fully in this God-man, Jesus Christ, so that this Spirit would recreate the world, would be upon us. There's a beautiful prophecy that is in Psalm 103. It says, "Send forth thy Spirit, and they shall be created, and thou shalt renew the face of the earth." You might have thought of this as speaking about creation. It is talking about creation, but also recreation. Because the recreation is accomplished by the Spirit of God abiding fully and resting in the God-man, Jesus Christ. So this prophecy is not just describing the creation of the world in 3 days. It is also describing the recreation of us through Jesus Christ. And that's why it's appropriate that it is read these three times during the year. The next reading is from Numbers, and it has the famous prophecy, "A star shall rise up out of Jacob, and a scepter shall spring forth from Israel, and shall strike the chiefs of Moab, and shall waste all the children of Seth." The star that rose out of Jacob is Christ. That star is Christ. Now, that prophecy was taken literally, this prophecy of Balaam and the soothsayers of Babylon. And the astrologers remembered it. And they were looking for a literal star to come out, to be in the heavens. And indeed, there was something that appeared to be a star. We know, we understand that it was an angel that guided them, acting like a star sometimes, and other times acting very much unlike a star, disappearing at times, and then going and standing over the house where the child was living. Which stars don't do that. So this was an angel. But it is interesting to me that this prophecy is really about the star being Christ, who would rise up out of Jacob. And of course, he rose up out of Jacob because our Lord is related to Jacob, right? He's from the loins of Jacob. Jacob and David and so on, and Judah and so on. And so he's the star that rose up out of Jacob. But the prophecy was taken literally, probably not understood at all, speaking about the man, Jesus, the God-man, Jesus, but instead about the star that rose up. And so because of their interpretation of the prophecy, they were looking for a star. The angel obliged them, and then those that came from the east came to worship the Christ child and gave him the gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Then we have the reading from Micah, which is another very famous prophecy that most people know. "And thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, art a little one among the thousands of Judah, out of thee shall come forth unto me that is to be the ruler of Israel, and his going forth is from the beginning, from the days of eternity. Speaking of the Messiah coming from Bethlehem. And of course, he did. Our Lord was born in Bethlehem. He didn't grow up in Bethlehem. He grew up in Nazareth. But he was born in Bethlehem because his foster father, Joseph, was of the area of Bethlehem. So when the census was called, he was required to go to Bethlehem. And it just so happened that was the time when the Mother of God brought forth and gave birth. Now, the word Bethlehem means house of bread. It is not by mistake that this is the case, because in the house of bread, the bread of life was born. The bread from heaven was born in the house of bread in Bethlehem. The next reading is Isaiah, particularly beautiful. And this is about the rod of Jesse. And there shall come forth a rod out of the root of Jesse, and a flower shall rise up out of his root. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom, of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of fortitude, the Spirit of knowledge and of godliness, and he shall be filled with the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. This rod is the Mother of God. Now, rods don't bring forth fruit. Dead sticks do not grow anything. Neither does a virgin give birth, except when God all things are possible. So this rod, meaning like a stick, cannot bring forth fruit, but neither does a virgin. And yet she did. The virgin was the rod in which the flower was what bloomed, and that flower is our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, of the root of Jesse, because Christ is also related to Jesse, right? Jesse was the father of David, and so on. Now, there are seven commandments given here, seven New Testament commandments. The Old Testament commandments were the ten, and actually, of course, outside of the ten, summarizing the ten were actually the two great commandments, the one in Leviticus, the other in Deuteronomy. But these seven complete, they don't supersede, but they complete the ten of the Old Testament. In fact, they make possible the fulfillment of those commandments. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom, one, understanding, two, counsel, three, fortitude, four, knowledge, five, and godliness, six, and then the Spirit of the fear of the Lord being seven. Now, to understand these things, we must live in the Spirit, and God will educate us, and we will learn of these things. This is perfection. The Jews had the idea of following the commandments. That was not perfection. No one could become perfect doing that. But we will become perfect by having the Spirit abiding in us. Now, the fathers make take pains to mention that when it says the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, this is important. The Spirit of the Lord rests upon Christ because he never leaves him. Christ is filled with the Spirit as full as a human being can be full of the Spirit. And the Spirit rests upon him and never leaves him. And so he can, of course, distribute the Spirit to us because he is never lacking in the Spirit. But neither should we be if we follow these seven commandments of the Spirit. And then he goes on, Isaiah, as saying some beautiful things, coming to this famous passage, the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the sheep shall abide together, and a little child shall lead them. The calf and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall rest together, the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp,
And the weaned child shall thrust his hand into the den of the basilisk, and they shall not hurt, nor shall they kill any in all of my holy mountain. For the earth is filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the covering waters of the sea. And of course, waters are often an indication of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so, the Holy Spirit, given by our Lord Jesus Christ, will cause all this to come to pass. This is a description of the blessed life, of the perfect life. None of these things are normal in nature. The wolf does not dwell with the lamb. The wolf eats the lamb. The child who puts his hand near the den of a snake is bitten and dies. The lion does not eat straw like the ox. He hunts and kills for his food. But in heaven, all this will come to pass. Of course, this is not literally talking about wolves lying down with lambs. This is talking about the wolves of our passions becoming subdued, becoming peaceful. This is talking about our rapaciousness, our anger, our cruelty, all of these things that we see in nature embodied sometimes in animals, and certainly more so in us. These things, by the Spirit of the Lord, will be changed and will become perfected so that we will no longer have these passions. Instead, we will be filled with love, with peace, with purity, with holiness. This is only possible because of the God-man Jesus Christ. The fathers talk about that the holy mountain is referring to the church. So all these things happen in the holy mountain, in the church. We must be part of the church and joined to her in order for us to have these changes occur in our hearts. Then at the last of this prophecy, it says, him the Gentiles shall beseech, calling of the Gentiles. Christ is available for all, not just for a select group. And his sepulcher shall be glorious. And of course, that's referring to the fact that on the third day, he would rise from the dead. So these are the first four prophecies that we will read tomorrow. I hope you listen to them carefully. There are four more that, if God allows, I'll talk about them tomorrow as well. There's eight in total for the Vesper service of of Nativity, which we will be serving tomorrow at 1:00. The blessing of the Lord be upon you through his grace and love for mankind, always, now, and ever, and unto the ages of ages.